Just walking in the house, you can smell the aroma. Rich, roasted, and grainy, your tongue might begin to water. This must be Thursday, because there's hot bread in the oven. And that seems to be the day I remember Mom always made the bread at home. And I can hardly wait to try some. So I go into the kitchen, and I look, and yes, there's the oven all lit up, and the bread's almost done. But you gotta wait, because you can't have any until it cools down and it's sliced, and it's supper time. They were thinking food in Galilee that late afternoon. They followed Jesus along the side of the shore as he had gone across the lake in a boat to get some retreat time away from the crowds with his disciples. And they're just getting started on that when someone looks up and says, well, here they all come again. The crowd is nearing. Jesus fed their souls, and now it appears it is their stomachs that are empty. But he has compassion on the crowd, and he looks upon them like his people, as he has compassion on all of us. He is the prophet like Moses, and they were God's beloved people. He was sent to set them free, not from Pharaoh, but from illness and from ignorance. What do you need from the Lord? What is it that you need to have? Is there someone here today who needs healing from the Lord? Let us pray for them. You all look well fed, I must say, with some exceptions. After all, you know, we go out after the service here today and we are fed like every other day. Many of you off to the buffets, some of you home to cook. Yet, aren't we really starving for a word from God? A true word? To know that the one who planned and made us has spoken directly to us, each one of us? Yes, that word comes. Savor it. Like the aroma of fresh baked bread. Matthew relates that the disciples, when they saw the crowds coming, said, Lord, send them away. It's late, and they're hungry. And where are we going to buy bread out here? Folks, don't our human problems seem insurmountable so often? Like too much for God to handle? Oh, the material things come easy enough in this land. If you need something, you just work extra hours or take a different position or get some more training, work harder, or maybe cut back on your spending, and then you're okay. But there are other things. The relationships. Oh, those are different. That's where the problems come today. The people we love become estranged from us. And what can we do? A woman looks around her house. She sees on the walls pictures. A picture of her husband, maybe ex-husband. The faces of grown children who no longer live there and who seldom call. Why did they all go away? And what will bring them back? She puzzles. Who can change a heart? We can't. And the strained relationships that seem impossible for us to fix are evidence of that. What can we do to change someone's mind to win them back to us? Yes, some problems seem insurmountable today that no amount of money, education, or power can overcome. But not for God. In this instance, Jesus tests his disciples with the problem of the people's hunger. He says, you fellows give them something to eat. And the problem is insurmountable, isn't it? Philip says, why, 8 months' wages, Lord, we could work. And that would even put a bite in everyone's mouth out there. And where are the stores? Where are we going to get this food? Jesus, as if to say, just give us something to work with here. And we'll put on a meal, but this problem you've handed us is really too much. But the Lord wants to work with what we have. And so he takes what he's already given us and he blesses it and so that it can be the solution to our problem. Now perhaps Andrew in the story is a little bit more onto this and he's a little more optimistic. He says, here's a kid with 5 dinner rolls and a few minnows. But what kind of meal will this make for a crowd like this, Jesus? Well, that's enough for Jesus. The miracle takes place. He took the bread, he gave thanks, and he gave it to them. Sounds kind of familiar here at church, doesn't it, that formula? Well, a banquet where everyone's full. And you notice afterwards, there's leftovers. They gather up 12 basketfuls. Everyone has their fill. And here we see once again, God feeds his people. Later on, John tells us what the bread represents, that is Jesus. But for now, we simply see how God provides. This Sunday morning, what's your situation? What insurmountable odds are you facing? Have you already given up hoping for a change? Don't give up. Don't lose hope. Jesus can help you, and God will provide a solution. But do you know the greatest crisis that we all have? The greatest insurmountable problem? Overcoming our own sin. We don't think about it that much. We just take it for granted. Yes, I'm a sinner, a poor, miserable sinner, but it's true. And that wall separates you from the holy God who created you and who comes and wants to have fellowship with you and wants to feed you. Jesus tackled that at the cross, your sin included. All that remains is to bring that now to the people, to serve them, to feed them this forgiveness. Like the bread, to put it in everyone's mouth so that they can digest it. That happens, even in crowds, one person at a time, like a feeding. And that's the church, my friends. That's what we are here, gathered on Sunday morning, again. The Spirit bringing what Jesus did on the cross and bringing it and applying it to people, ourselves included. In that Old Testament reading we heard today, the journey of the Exodus, how Moses sprinkled the blood of the sacrifice on the people. And here I see a symbol of the church's ministry, distributing the benefits of Jesus' blood and what he accomplished on the cross, forgiving sins and bringing that to people who otherwise would perish in a desert. That's what happens every time we gather, and it's crucial that we come together with that in mind. If we're coming to church or coming to God expecting something else, just a pick-me-up, a lift-me-up, or just kind of a Sunday morning ritual, we're going to be disappointed. But if we come broken, each one of us knowing what sin is and how separated from God we are, then we're going to be filled by this meal. There's something here for everyone, that is in the forgiveness of sins. And like the disciples, we are blessed to be able to not only receive that for ourselves and eat that meal, but to take that meal to other people, to take that good news around to the crowd until everyone gets their fill. That's our mission as Christians, as the church, and as a congregation of St. John. And we are all called to help. We have been called, and the Apostle Paul this morning commends us to live a life worthy of the calling. Too many Christians today are stressed out and hung up on not getting things for themselves and for their families. And it's tragic because these are things that God has not promised. Don't let that be you. God doesn't call us all to be rich in a worldly way, to be smugly secure or anesthetized by pleasure. He wants us to depend on him. And sometimes shortages and hardships work that in us. They get us to praying. They get us to looking to God and not to ourselves. And I believe that's one of the messages of this miracle. He says, don't worry. Don't worry, disciples. It's going to work out. Don't worry, crowd. I will take care of you. Don't get hung up on how you're going to be fed, but rather consider how well I've always fed you in the past. Remember your daily bread, everything you need to support this body and life? All of that came from me, and it's going to continue to come from me. And while you're at it, why don't you help me feed the others? We're called to be shaped by that goodness, as Paul says, humble and to be patient, to be gentle, bearing with one another because we truly love one another, seeking to be built up and united with one another in this Christian faith. That's the church of Jesus Christ. So today, this morning, friends, I want you to consider how well God has fed you. I don't mean just with that extra inch or two that you've accumulated over the years. But for many of us, so often, that spiritual table, for all of us, right back there behind me in that altar of God, where Jesus offered himself up for us, and where he is coming to us saying, "Supper's ready, come and get it." If you're answering that dinner call, you're not missing out on anything really valuable and lasting in this world. In fact, you have something to rejoice in, something to be glad about, and something that gives you meaning and purpose in life more than anything else can. Yes, I've always found that aroma of fresh baked bread is appealing, but nothing compared with the smell of what Jesus is offering in his death, resurrection, and second coming. Our daily bread is really to hear again and again of the good things that he has done for us. It is truly precious bread for our souls. It is delicious, it is filling, and it is spiritually healthy. Amen. And the peace of the Lord be with you always.